Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Atlantic Bushcraft Adventures. To the best of my knowledge, I think we're either on episode 257 or 258. Not going to lie to you, folks. I am not firing on all cylinders. Ben is carrying most of the weight tonight. You know, big, strong Ben there doing the best he can. But tonight we are going to be chatting. Hopefully somebody's out there, because on my live stream, all I see is a black screen. And I'm really hoping that you folks may see something other than that. But I know YouTube has been finicky lately, so I'm going to go on as if it was fine and hope for the best. But anyway, tonight we're going to be talking about bugs. And yes, we've talked about bugs in the past, but it's coming up on spring. The weather is changing. Figured we'd share a few stories of, you know, some of the horrific things that we've experienced in the past, some of our worst bug stories, and maybe some tips and tricks and just reminders for you folks to maybe not end up in the same situations. Because let's face it. Bugs are almost the worst enemy when we're out there in the woods. I don't know about you, Ben, but me, the one thing that can really dampen a day worse than any kind of weather or any kind of crap like that is if you are getting eaten by insects the entire time that you're out there.
100%. In fact, we often mention this, like what's the word I'm looking for? The influence? What inspired this?
Yes.
I was chatting with a coworker, and we were talking about going out east, and I'm going to Newfoundland and Nova Scotia, and they asked when's the best time to go, and I'm like, you know, summer's awesome, fall is great, winter's okay, spring you kind of want to kind of avoid, and he's like, oh, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I said, the flies in the spring can be, like, horrendous. And he's like, can you tell me a bit about it? And I'm like, oh, well, sure. And I started mentioning, like, some of the worst trips I've ever had. And it is the flies. I have been out in times when it was all I could do to be out, where I've literally had to hide because the flies were so bad. And I thought it's a good thing to talk about. I mean, we've talked about how to prevent it, foods to avoid, places to camp and all that. But sometimes they are simply unavoidable. And I have had to end trips, whether they're camping trips or fishing trips or just cabin trips or just stay like inside. So whatever shelter we had was good enough to keep the flies out. But I mean, have you ever been in a tent where the flies bouncing off the side of the tent would start to drive you and the buzzing is like incessant?
I'm going to be honest. I have been blessed recently that the actual noise off the bugs and stuff like that, it's less of a problem for me. I'm learning that I am getting to the point where I can sleep through pretty much anything if I want to. And maybe that's more of the age coming out, as we were joking about prior to coming on the podcast here. I'm not sure. My daughter's been able to sneak into the bedroom a couple times and creepily stand over me and stuff like that, which never would have flown when I was younger. So I don't know. Maybe I'm slowing down in my old age, but it's not the noise that drives me. But I have been in the situation, like you said, where basically we've had to just hide in the tent and all you hear is it almost sounds like raindrops constantly hitting the tent. If they were like quarter-sized raindrops.
Yeah. Yes. So that's kind of the thing we're talking about. And so I was kind of thinking in the last few days about it because it really kind of sat in the back of my head. And, you know, this has not happened every year. It's not every year that I've hit like the absolute worst flies, because of course it wouldn't be the absolute worst. But there's been, like, I think it happens in cycles. Some years are much worse than others. It depends on the weather and the conditions. When the conditions are just right for flies, you can get some horrendous flies. And I remember a trip. And again, this is a story time episode. For anyone who's here thinking we're going to give you great advice, this is not the show for you today.
Not tonight, folks. Tonight is more of story time, and you guys are going to have some laughs at our misfortunes.
So I was just a young fella, and neighbors, we had a cabin at a river, said, let's go across the dam fishing. And when we said across the dam, it was the Millertown Dam in Newfoundland, and it was not a long trip for us. And when you go back there, there are some beautiful lakes and ponds that are only fished by a few hundred people probably a year. So The fishing back there can be amazing. Like there are large mud trout back there, large windfish, some salmon, and some of the places you really have to know the place to go and the way to do it. So our cabin neighbors, I believe one of them is now like a hunting guide or works for the Hunting Guide Association for Newfoundland. And if he hears about this, he can reach out. I won't use his name unless he gives me permission. But I have seen his post
Mud
lately on
trout.
Facebook, so I know he's still into this. We went down in their van, and I can remember we were driving through these dirt roads, and we watched the flies come out of the trees, and it was like something out of the cartoons. I cannot express when we hit the cloud, and it was a cloud, and it came out, you had form, like you know when you see the birds flying in the summer, and there's like probably 10 million of them, where
They
it
fly
seems
in those
like
clusters. Yeah, there's a word for
every.
that. Can't remember it, but I know what you mean.
Well, this is what the mosquitoes were doing, but it was huge. It was massive, and when the van hit it, it was like hitting a thunderstorm, like a rainstorm. Like it was pelting out the windshield. Like I don't know if it slowed the van down, but it felt like it could be. It was horrendous. Anyways, like we drove through it. Like the front of the truck, the van was just covered in fly bites, or not fly bites, but fly dead carcasses when we got to the other spot. And we got out and we were fishing, and you wouldn't be there more than 10, 15 minutes. And you watched them come out of the trees, just in these swarms. And you could look across and you could see your buddy. He's over there trying to fish, and his hands look like they're wearing gloves, and his face was blurry, like he had a beard. But it grew everywhere evenly. And it was almost like helmet size. It was massive. And yeah, you'd be swatting at them, and you couldn't help but kill dozens every swat, but it was never enough to deter them. And yeah, I can remember like the fingernails, not fingernails, that all the joints on my fingers were so bit that I could barely make a fist. Like I was having trouble holding the rod.
Now, I've never
And
been
so
in
we.
that bad a situation. I'm not gonna lie. I've never. I'll get to my story later. You finish on.
So, and it was, we ended up calling it. We couldn't stay back there and go fishing. So we had to get back in the van and drive away. And you still be some flies in the van, but at least then when you kill them, they're dead. Like you have a limited number, but it seemed like it was limitless outside. Yeah, that was like one of the worst trips, but not necessarily even my worst trip. It tends to be the springtime though, like the time coming up and everything seems to have just melted away. The ground is still pretty damp. You get these nice warm days and the mildly cooled nights, and the flies are just horrendous. And it is almost a life-changing event to live through it.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess I'm gonna make a different. Oh man, I'm my dyslexia is kicking in. I can't
Different.
make the word I want come out of my mouth, but I'm gonna differentiate between a couple different bugs here because there's a few bugs that really bug us, pun intended, out there. But the worst for me, it's not the mosquitoes, it's not the flies, it's, well, kind of the flies, the black flies. If you know what I mean. The black flies, the jiggers, and the no-see-ums, whatever you want to call them, those are the ones that get me. Mosquitoes, for some reason, don't tend to bother me as bad. I don't know why. I know they're the ones that normally bite and they make it itchy and stuff like that, and everybody hates a mosquito. Trying to go to sleep at night, one buzzing around my head, absolutely will drive me nuts. But when I'm actually going out through the woods, when I say, oh, the worst bug experiences of my life, every time comes up with black flies. And you're right, it seems to be the spring. And what comes to mind for me is this one time I was working with Natural Resources, as I've mentioned in the past. In the spring, we do pellet group inventories. Basically, it's a fancy way of saying we go out in the woods and we count poop. You know what I mean? We count rabbit, moose, and deer poop, just basically to see what the population's doing, see where the density is for them. It's actually one of the ways that here in Nova Scotia, we decide how many licenses we're going to issue come hunting season. If there's going to be a stipulated amount on them, if we're going to offer doe tags in an area, whatever the case may be, this is where all this information comes from. So during the spring, all these PGIs are, of course, usually in the middle of the woods. It's no good counting around buildings, or at the time it wasn't. Now, I guess it doesn't matter because deer are everywhere. But at the time, you always had to go into the woods. And you're always driving up these woods roads, and you're going through all the old stagnant mud puddles, and you're constantly stirring them up, which gets the bugs going, and they're always in softwood stands. And when you get out, like you said, it's like a swarm comes over you. And in the spring, we have the joy that most times you can still wear a long sleeve shirt. Maybe not as heavy as the sweater I'm wearing now, but some sort of long sleeve shirt with a hood. And it, the way a PGI works is you have to pick a bearing. It's either going to be north or south, depending on where you're going. You have to walk 100 meters, and in that 100 meters, you basically put your head down, and in a 1 meter circle around you, you count all the rabbit poop. Every time you stop at this 100 meters, you're guaranteed you're stopped for about a minute, 2 minutes. You know what I mean? Because you really got to look sometimes. Sometimes you only find one or two pellets, and anybody that's seen rabbit poop before in the past, they know it's not that big, and it can hide real easy. So the job is not as easy as I make it out to be, but it's still not that bad. And I can remember this one time that we were going through and we got out of the truck and it was me and my two coworkers, and we knew it was just going to be bad. It had all the right things. We just stirred up all the water. It was hot. It was humid. You know what I mean? For a spring day, this usually goes end of April. We got to do it before green up. So yeah, it was probably around the end of April. And it was humid that day. It was warm. It was muggy. And we got out, we got hit by the swarm, and we're not even in the woods yet. We're on like the edge of the woods, and we're like, oh God, this is going to suck. You know what I mean? So we walk into the first 100 meters, and we stop to count. And literally, I kind of stop, and just as I'm bending over, I go to breathe in. And literally, I have a hard time breathing, because the bugs are just there. They're in your mouth. They're in your eyes. They're just like, and you're trying to inhale these things. And I hear what you're saying. Well, why don't you just wear netting? You know what I mean? All these mosquito nets and stuff. It's a good idea if we're in open areas. Now, pushing through heavy brush and stuff like that, because these things are, once again, through the woods, usually through softwood stands. Any kind of netting that you try to wear literally gets shredded, or it's in your way and in your face and everything else. So we generally opt not to use them. We use chemical deterrents, DEET, bug repellent, whatever you want to call them. You know what I mean? They were working this time. And I mean, we drowned ourselves in DEET. And I'm not talking like the stuff you buy at the store. And I know you can kind of relate to this. We're talking military strength DEET. Because I think the most you can get over the counter is about 30% DEET, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
So this stuff was sitting at about 50% DEET. Which is substantially more than what you're going to get over the counter. And literally it came from the reserves. I'm not going to say how we got it from the reserves, but we got it from the reserves. But in any case, we're covered in this stuff. And you're not supposed to put it on your skin. And I've seen this stuff eat plastic. We had it on our skin. We had it on our clothes. We had it everywhere. And literally every time you stopped, you had to take your hood and you threw it up over your face. And basically you sealed it till it was just your eyes sticking out. So you're kind of doing the old South Park thing like this. And your eyes would go down. You try to count your pellets. And even then, it was like in my eyes, in my mouth, crawling up my nose. Like you could not stop for any reason. At the time, I still enjoyed a cigar every now and then. I tried lighting one of those and trying to get the smoke to get them away. They didn't care. Like, I swear they would have flew over, slapped me, and took my cigar. That's how thick they were. You know what I mean? They're just no describing how bad the black flies were. Surprisingly enough, the mosquitoes weren't that bad. I mean, they were there, but they were so much of an afterthought compared to these black flies that it wasn't even funny. And yeah, the black flies are just atrocious. And we tried everything we could try. We had the DEET on us. We had bounce sheets on us. We had, what was it? It was, citronella or whatever patches that you can stick all over yourself. We looked like a walking sticker pad. Didn't help in the slightest. Like at a certain point, the bugs just don't care. And I know some of our folks from around here, or not from around here, from around the globe may be like, that can't be right. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's right. Anybody from Eastern Canada, probably Western Canada, well, anywhere from Canada, we seem to have these massive hordes of bugs. You know what I mean? And I've never experienced them anywhere on the planet as bad as I've experienced them in the deep woods of Nova Scotia. Maybe Newfoundland. But that's about it.
Yeah. Newfoundland was the worst I've ever seen. But I've seen it pretty bad. At my cabin in Nova Scotia, there was times when going out the door for more than a few minutes or going from the cabin to the vehicle was about as far as you wanted to be out because they would come in pretty good swarms. And it does get bad when it covers, you know, any exposed flesh. But I find when they're that thick, I guess the hunger or the drive overrides DEET, it overrides anything. And they will block screens off. Like I've seen tents when you look at the screen or you look at your screen door, and it's just like they're all pinned there staring in at you like, we're coming.
Hey, let us in, Ben. It's cold out here.
Yeah, it can get rough. So yeah, I think it's one of the biggest things, and it's often, you know, the question we're asked was, aren't you afraid of the bears, or aren't you afraid of cougars, or aren't you afraid of and they'll list some random animal, and I think generally me and you have always said it, we're not afraid of any of these animals, but what we are afraid of is the insects, because they can make your life pretty miserable. They also tend to carry disease and problems like that. Not such a bad thing in Canada. Like, it's not as prevalent, but it's something to be aware of. So if there was something I was going to say is a risk, it's
absolutely
that.
The number one animal killer on the planet, or the animal that kills the most amount of people, mosquitoes. Malaria, mosquitoes, of course, yeah. But I mean, once again, not prevalent here in Canada, as Ben had said, but it's still a real issue, you know what I mean? And it's not even that. Taking malaria out of the equation, ticks are a big thing here. And I mean, I've seen bad amounts of ticks before. And there is a lot of new little infections and diseases that are starting to spread around through these bugs. I mean, ticks, once again, I know a little bit more about them than other animals. Rocky Mountain spotted fever, that's a big one that goes through there. Of course, Lyme disease. The Lone Star tick now is creating an enzyme in your body that makes you unable to process red meat. Like, that's a serious thing for somebody that generally enjoys a good steak. If you can no longer eat any kind of red meat, that's a drastic lifestyle change that's happening from the bite of an insect. Like, there are some actual risks involved in these insects now. And I can remember back in like the 90s and 80s, and you can maybe help back me up here, Ben. I don't think there was ticks in Newfoundland at that point, for one. And two, I don't remember ever hearing of a case of Lyme disease around here. Nobody ever cared. It was like, oh, you gotta cover all your skin and put on all the DEET and cover yourself over because you might get that one tick. It was always like, get out in the woods and have fun. If the bugs eat you, that's your problem for stopping. You know what I mean? That I can literally remember my grandparents telling me that. If you're getting bitten by bugs, you're not moving fast enough. That was the only words of advice I ever got as a kid.
Yeah, it's very much true. I don't remember ever hearing of ticks growing up in Newfoundland. It wasn't until I came to Nova Scotia that I was exposed to them. And my wife has mentioned that she grew up with ticks, but they were never considered like an overly big nuisance, and they weren't afraid of them. And if you got one, you picked it off, it was no big deal. But yeah, now we've met a lot of people who have suffered from what's called Lyme disease, you know, to varying levels. And some of them have been diagnosed early and been treated, and others struggled with it. And, you know, we've talked about that in the past on the kind of thing. And you've told a great story where you went in to help rescue an eagle and came back to the point where you had to strip your clothes off and even found ticks in your vehicle days later.
Yeah. And maybe I was wondering where that is here in Nova Scotia. I hesitate to say the exact area, but it's going to be in the HRM area. That's all I can say. In the wooded HRM areas. But yeah, totally. And the story that Ben's talking about here, and I had it on my slate to tell anyways, another bad bug story, was just that. Me and my coworker Matthew went in to get an eagle. This eagle had a broken wing or something. It wandered off into the woods. And at the time, natural resources, we got to catch these things and we bring them to a rehabilitation center, be it Hope for Wildlife or Shubenacadie or wherever the case may be. We got to get these things looked at because it's an eagle. It's an endangered animal. You can't just let this thing wander around and die, of course. So it was only maybe 50 meters in the woods. Like, I'm standing on the road and I can see this thing in the trees, but you got to go down a ditch and through this little hedge of grass, and we're talking like waist high grass and shrubbage and stuff like that, and then you get under the trees and then you can get to where this eagle is. But the whole place, like, the head grass minimal ankle deep and as high as like waist deep. In any case, down I go, I get the net, I get this eagle in the net, I get the eagle into the cage, and I'm walking out and I put the cage on back. And yeah, Matt just looks at me and says, man, you got ticks on you. And I'm like, yeah, of course I do. It's this area. That's not a big thing. And he's like, no, dude, you don't understand. You got a lot of ticks on you. You may want to give yourself a brush off. And this was still right around the time where Lyme disease was still fairly new, but it was starting to become a hot topic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there was a stage there where some doctors didn't even believe it existed. They thought it was made up and people were just being crazy. And it was right around the time where they all kind of went, oh, hey, yeah, maybe this is a real thing and we should pay attention to it. In any case, I started brushing them off my legs, and then I'm like, holy crap, I do have a lot on me, because they're not just on my legs where I thought, they're now like up my body, they're down my arms, I can feel them on my neck. And we were flicking them off, and I lost count around 60 or 70 ticks. And I was only in the woods for maybe, and not even the woods, because I could see the road at all times. I was in there for 10 minutes, tops, more probably like 5 or 6. And I swear, if I call Matthew to this day and go, hey, Matt, do you want to go out to X location and find an eagle? He will literally tell me to go F myself. Because he will just be like, nah, man, I'm not going out there. There's too many ticks. That eagle, screw it. Anyway, yeah, and this is a real thing. And of course, it's only the black-legged ticks that carry Lyme disease, or so they say. And most of the ones I was flicking off, they were, you know, they were just the northern white spotted tick or whatever that you want to call them. They're dog ticks. I can't remember what the common name is for them here anymore. But anyway, it wasn't a problem. But yeah, that's becoming more and more of an issue. Anywhere where there's a lot of deer, high deer population, there is now a lot of ticks. And not just ticks. We have other bugs that are out there too, like the longhorn spruce beetle, which is an invasive species. And yes, it eats trees and that's all fine and dandy and terrible, but the suckers bite too. You know what I mean? They have a mouth, and if they get on you and you interfere with them and they feel endangered in any way, shape, or form, they will bite you. And the bite is incredibly painful. Much like a moose fly bite. You know what I mean by moose fly, Ben? Like a house fly on steroids, about the size of a nickel?
Yeah.
I know you have them like crazy in Newfoundland, because that was the first time I'd actually seen a moose fly.
Yeah, there's a couple that, well, I think we always call them horse flies, but they probably are a variant of it. And the copperheads. Do you remember copperheads, or did you get copperheads?
All I can think is copperhead snakes. What are we talking about copperheads?
So there was these flies we used to get in Newfoundland, not Nova Scotia. And they would have like a metallic head. And they bit. When they bit, it hurt.
I can't remember anything like that off the top of my head, but not saying it's not here. As you know, a lot of the stuff that you have in Newfoundland, it usually came off the mainland here somewhere. But yeah, in any case, what's some of the stuff that you folks can do out there to maybe not get into the same situations we do? And this is just kind of a review where the warm weather is coming up. A big thing, first step, wear brightly colored, looser fitting clothing. I don't mean like the old parachute pants and like massively oversized for you, but a little loose fitting isn't bad because the bagginess is going to help with them not being able to bite through the clothing. Now, along with this stuff, as ridiculous as it looks, you're better off to like tuck your pants into your socks, your shirt into your pants, and kind of stay uniformly sealed, if that makes any kind of sense. And the first time I was told this, I thought it looked ridiculous, tucking my pants into my socks, until I started going out in the woods a lot. And then I realized, I don't care if it looks ridiculous, it's only the trees that are going to make fun of me. I had so many less bug bites on my legs. Because black flies and mosquitoes can still get up inside your pants if they're loose enough, and they'll bite your legs and have a feast, or a tick can go up there, or whatever, right? So it is worth tucking all your clothes in, and as I said, brightly colored clothing. One, it's going to be able to identify when a bug is on you, because most bugs are dark colored. And two, they seem to be a little less attracted to brighter colors, Ben, and I'm not sure why. Maybe you have a little bit more insight on this.
I don't know if they're talking about the color and their attractiveness. I'm trying to look up that fly for us. They're attracted to heat more than anything, and certain colors reflect heat, I believe. People always said there's certain colors that they attract and don't. We found in search and rescue that ticks are attracted to orange, believe it or not. Like, an orange cooler will be covered with them.
Cool. I did not know that. I know when we used to do tick sweeps, all we ever used to do was like grab an old white bed sheet, drag it through the bushes, and out pops your ticks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It might have been some type of deer fly. that the copperhead is named after from the pictures I've seen. They look similar to that.
Okay.
They bit hard. And they don't give up. I can remember when you kill them, like you can take the head off. They're very solid.
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you, Ben. I'll have to get back to you on
And I
that one.
think what I remember is a horsefly, like you said, they're probably a little bit bigger than your middle fingernail, and they're almost all black.
So yeah, I guess here, and maybe it's going to be different around the place. We have what we call house flies, which is your standard house fly. Then we have the deer flies. Then we got moose flies. There's three different types of flies that I can think of. The house flies, of course, are kind of like the little brown and green ones you find just flying around your house. You know what I mean? They don't really bite you. They're just annoying. Then there's like the deer flies or whatever you want to call them. They're kind of blackish in color. And they do bite. And then there's the moose flies, which are like the size of your thumbnail. And they're big, like they're like the size of a quarter, and when they bite, it feels like they take the entire appendage when they bite. And maybe that's what you're talking about. What I'm calling a moose fly might be what you're calling a copperhead.
Yeah, it could be. The eyes are very silvery. Like you see greens and yellows in them, and they're huge and it's solid. Like it is a bit harder. And yeah, they bite. When they bite, you feel it. You knew you were bit by one. Doesn't sting like a whole. If they took a chunk out of you, you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, and that's what we would call a moose fly. I think we're talking same thing, just different name for it. Moose fly to us, like it took, you had a hole in your skin when this thing bit you.
Yeah, I mean, those I found were really bad on rivers. Like if you were swimming or something, they would follow you. And the only way away from them was to go under the water. But when you came up, they were buzzing, waiting for you. And they would ho hover over your head, waiting for a chance to come down. And so you just felt like intimidated by the fact that it was there and it wasn't going to go away, not on its own. You had to like deal with it.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I sent you a picture. See if that's what kind of looks like there, Ben. It's to your messenger there. Yeah, so loose clothing, bug sprays. I mean, do your best to try and avoid being out in the woods when the bugs are bad, and that's usually right around the start of spring, which is
Yeah.
why we started this episode with saying the worst time to be in the woods is generally around the start of spring. It's going to be the wettest and dampest out there, which is the absolute best conditions for a lot of these insects to breed and start spreading. Generally, as things dry up, it'll get a little better, and then as things cool off, it definitely gets a lot better. But other than that, there's times in the spring where there's really not much you can do to keep them away from you. Cover your skin as best you can. Hug near your campfire, but honestly, I've seen it where even the smoke from a campfire just kind of deters them, but doesn't get rid
Yeah.
of them.
Yeah, at their peak, there's very little you can do to drive them away. It really is down to a physical barrier, which, the screen, the bug netting, or areas of really high wind. Like if you can get down on the lake and you have a good breeze over you, but like you find in the early morning and the late evening, just as it's starting to get dark, usually the wind dies down near these lakes and stuff, and they come out with a vengeance. They also seem to avoid the peak of the day. But yeah, when they do come out, it can be, I mean, it's not enough to stop you from potentially doing stuff, but you do need to be aware of it and aware of the risks that come with it. I think that's the important thing.
Yep, and all you can do is prepare yourself the best you can. Try to avoid the busy times. And like Ben said, barrier is going to be your best case. Cover up as much as you can without worrying about, overheating, basically. So long, thin, cool shirts, Gore-Tex shirts, if you can get a hold of them, or like the Under Armour shirts. I can't remember what they're made out of specifically, but they tend to be a little thinner. They let air pass through, but they're good deterrent to bugs. Downside is they're generally kind of expensive and people don't like to beat them through the woods. So you're gonna have to weigh your options there. I got a couple knockoff brands. I think I buy them for about 15 bucks a piece and I love them. However, now that I get thinking of it, they're all orange. So maybe I'm gonna have to rethink that, Ben, with your new information with the ticks. But
It's just something we found when you, because we had a lot of orange gear, and when you put it out, like they laid like a white cooler down and an orange cooler, and they picked up the orange one for some reason. It was covered in dicks.
interesting. All right, I'm going to have to do a little more experimenting with this over the summer, I
You
believe.
should experiment with colors to see if they make a difference. I don't believe that flies are necessarily generally attracted to any one color more than the next, but it is something to be aware of.
All righty.
So, my calculation is this week or next week is our 5-year anniversary of doing this.
Today was our YouTube channel birthday.
Yeah.
So I just got a big message on that when I signed in, and that said happy birthday. But yeah, I think it's next week is our actual 5-year birthday, though. I think I created the channel before we started uploading the thing. We were in the planning phases at this point.
And I also noticed I did a quick check. This is 259, because 256 is on here twice.
Okay. I'll
As
sort it out after
bushcrafted.
we're done here tonight and make sure that all the numbers add up. But for me for tonight, that's basically all I had. Like I said, I'm not really firing on all cylinders. I know I'm kind of copping out here, folks, but I intend to come back a little better over the weather, not so much under the weather, and have a much more interesting episode for you. But it is still a good topic. Hopefully you folks get a few laughs out of that. And it just gets you thinking when you get out there. Kind of keep an eye on the bug situation because if it's bad at home, it's going to be so much worse in the woods. And like we said, the only thing that really ruins a camping trip for us is the bugs. Everything else we can take in stride. Bad weather, no problem. It might be a bummer temporarily, but it rarely ruins the trip. Bugs can actually ruin a trip. I have seen bugs bad enough that we have decided not to go camping. You know what I mean? Just being like, we got there and it's just, no, it's too bad to camp here and we had to move on.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think that's it for me tonight. Yes, short episode, but that just means we're making up for all the times we went over for 1 hour. So, next week is going to be a mixed bag there, folks. We're not sure if Ben is going to be able to join us on the podcast or not. We're still figuring that one out. If not, like always, we have backup plans and we will put them into motion accordingly.
For sure. See you the next time, regardless of what it is. Get out there and have fun.
All right.